you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. As you know, often on Tuesday, it's Testimony Tuesday. Well, we're parting a little from that practice. And when I say we're, I'm playing solo. So as some would say, me and the friend in my pocket. But anyway, Marianne is on the mend. She'll join me tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends when we do the Prime Lifetimes in Review. And she's feeling much better. But yesterday we began a talk that Mike Huckabee recently gave at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which I had the privilege of attending. In fact, I actually needed a vacation after spending those 4 days in Nashville, learning and being stretched and processing all this information, recapturing the vision of putting Christ first and foremost into all that we do. As broadcasters, we have that great privilege of providing content, speakers, devotional thoughts, God-honoring music that conveys the good news message of Jesus, that God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. And part of that purpose is a relationship with Him, empowering you with His Holy Spirit so that you can be God's ambassador, growing as a disciple of Jesus, impacting this hurting world. Oh, it's an exciting adventure that we all get to be on as we ask Jesus into our hearts, as we confess our sins and receive Him as Savior and follow Him as Lord. Well, anyways, Mike Huckabee gave a persuasive talk about the importance of our religious liberties, the individual freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States, the responsibility that we carry, not only as American citizens, but as followers of Jesus. And so he shared a little of his faith journey. And yesterday's program closed out with his concern about those that follow what they think or feel or believe versus what the Bible says, that God's Word and the Scriptures being our standard. So I'll rewind it about a minute or two to set the context, and we'll pick up right there, and we'll learn the importance of parenthood, the unique and special roles that dads have, how important it is to read, follow, and obey the Scriptures, that in the end, no matter what, we're on the winning team for those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Mike Huckabee, as recorded recently at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And I pray and trust that God will impart some spiritual truths, bringing healthy conviction into your mind and heart as we convey God's love to a hurting world.
But I am genuinely concerned that within the Christian faith and Christian churches and Christian colleges and universities, there is a sense of wanting so much to be loved and accepted by the secular world that the wokeness of believers today is a path that leads to destruction. Call me old-fashioned, old fogey, I really don't care. But I want to tell you, I think that there is a fundamental difference between people who base their faith on what they think, feel, and believe, and those who base faith on what the Bible says. Count me among those who base faith on what the Bible says. And I want to be clear as to why. I'm a musician. I may not be a very good one, but I've been playing since I was 11. I do my show on TBN here in Nashville, which means we're going to do music on it, of course. I just had the Beach Boys. I've had Dionne Warwick. I've had so many wonderful people that I get to play with, Oak Ridge Boys, and on and on. And people will see me play with some of these artists. I played with Willie Nelson and the late Andy Williams and George Jones and all sorts of people. And I get this. People say, I saw you playing with the Beach Boys. I didn't know you were that good. I always tell them, I'm not, but it's my show. I get to play. But as a musician, there's something that I know, and any of you who are musicians know this, that before you play the first note of a song, there is a prerequisite that must be done. And that is that you must tune the instrument before you can play the instrument. Because I don't care how good you are, you can be a virtuoso. But if you don't have a tuned instrument, you will not make music, you will make noise, and it will be chaos, not something that will be pleasant to the ears. And the important thing is that when you tune, You don't tune your instrument to what you think. You don't tune your instrument to what you feel. And you don't tune your instrument to what you believe. You tune it to a rigid standard so that the D note on your guitar is the same in Japan, Jakarta, or anywhere in the world. It's exactly the same pitch. And if you tune it to anything other than a standard, it's a train wreck. I would suggest that one of the reasons that our culture and society, our civilization itself, is in trouble because we're raising a whole generation of younger people who believe that the world evolves around what they think, what they feel, what they believe, and not what the facts of the Word of God are. And this, as much as anything, is a message that I believe NRB has a unique responsibility to help broadcast to the world and to make sure that we don't lose that fundamental idea that there are some things that may seem right, but in the end, they are death. We cannot have a generation that lives as it was in the time of the judges, where everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And yet that's the culture that young people are being raised in, and sadly, even in what have been and otherwise would be Bible-believing evangelical churches. If we're going to save civilization, I'm going to suggest just a few things that are necessary. One is it is faith. As I've said, it has to be faith based on what the Scripture says, not just based on what we think, feel, or believe. Faith is not just believing something so diligently that it becomes true. It's believing something that is true, knowing that we can stand on the solid rock of that truth. The depth of my faith does not make something more true. It's the reality of the truth that activates genuine faith. It's not that I just believe so hard that Jesus is Savior, that He becomes my Savior. He really did go to the cross, die for me, came out of the grave, and the result is, if I place my faith in Him, it's not the level of faith, the amount of faith, or the diligence of my faith. It's the object of my faith that is true and solid, and somehow that simple message of faith needs to be rekindled among those of us who call ourselves Christian believers. That's faith. A critical element of saving our culture is to re-engage the notion of family. We throw that term out so often, and look, I've done it myself. Family values, standing for the family. And all of that is important. I think sometimes we forget to remind ourselves, and especially the generations after us, why God put such a value on the institution of the family, an institution which, by the way, preceded government and even preceded the church. Pretty big deal. If God, before He created the church, an assembly, and if God, before He allowed for, created, or approved of civil government, the first and foremost institution that He ordained was that of family. Man, wife, relationship, resulting in the next generation, procreating that next generation, and then training replacements. Well, people sometimes say, what is a real purpose of the family? Quite frankly, it's so that we can train our replacements. It's not to selfishly live our lives so that we have such a great time and that we get to do the things we want to do. It's living our lives so that we can impart the wisdom of God's standards to the next generation and train them to be our replacements. Hopefully, they'll do a better job than we did. As a young father, it became obvious to me that my children far more did what they saw me do than what they heard me say. I read stories to my kids when they were little. Every night before they went to bed, I'd put them up in my lap, I'd read them a story, then I'd go tuck them in bed. And that was just a ritual. Did that every night I was home. And one evening, I had my daughter, Sarah. She was in my lap. She was about 2 years old. I was reading a book to her. And as I was reading the book, when I would come time to turn the page, I would do what we all do. I would lick my finger, get traction, I turn the page. Lick my finger, turn the page. Lick my finger, turn the page, because I didn't want to miss a page. That's the only way you can be sure not to miss a page. So we all do that, right? I finished the book. She crawls out of my lap. She grabs one of her little books. She goes over on the sofa and she sits there and she's going to read her book. I looked over and here's what I saw her doing. I laughed out loud. And I realized my daughter had no idea why she was licking her fingers, but somehow it was related to a book. So if you read a book, you're supposed to lick your fingers. It never occurred to her. Maybe it would be better to lick the finger that you're turning the page with, but it was just about licking the finger. And that's when it hit me. She is doing what she sees me do rather than listening to what she hears me say. The role of parenthood is the single greatest privilege and role that we have in the world. And the role of that is not just to help our children to get an education. And in fact, if we put them in some government-sponsored, government-owned institutions, we will be doing a great disservice to the future generations. Because things have changed that much. It's to train our replacements. When I was a kid in school down in Hope, Arkansas, our schools might as well have been a Christian school. We had devotionals every day before class. Somebody read the Bible and made a comment. We had prayer over the intercom. We had another prayer when we went to the lunchroom. We'd line up in the hall, single file. And just before we marched over to the cafeteria, we'd have another prayer. And if you'd have seen the stuff they were feeding us in the cafeteria, you would have prayed again too, I'm telling you. Nobody thought a thing about it. If there was a church in our little community that was having a revival, it didn't matter if it was Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, the preacher who's doing the revival would come to the school and do a chapel. Can you imagine that today? Would preach a chapel and give an evangelistic message. Nobody complained. We did Christmas songs about Jesus. We did Easter stuff. And maybe there was some complaining. I don't remember it. But we did that. So the public schools in my generation, back a long time ago, and if you remember those things, you're old too. Which, by the way, was also the generation. Remember, we were afraid in the Cold War we were going to get blown up by the Russians. Remember that? Any of you ever did duck and cover? You're old. Yeah. Yeah, me too. It never occurred to me as a kid, they tell us, okay, get up under your desk and put your hands over your head. Because if the Ruskies drop a big one and vaporize everything, you're going to be okay under that wooden desk. I mean, I was an adult before I ever figured out that's the dumbest thing we ever did. I mean, the whole world's going to be vaporized. And I'm sitting there under a desk with my head over my hand. I'm going to be all right. I got my hands over my head and I'm under a wooden school desk. But that was the life we grew up with. By the time my children came along, their schools, they didn't have assemblies, they didn't have Bible reading, they didn't have prayer, but they weren't hostile to faith or to the local churches. They were just kind of neutral. Today, the government schools that my grandchildren would go to are openly hostile and would do everything possible to undermine and undo the things their parents are trying to teach them. That's why all six of them are in a Christian school. And it's the most glorious thing in the world. Little four-year-old George, they all have great teaching. That kid, he does the ABCs by Scripture. He'll do A, and then he lists a verse with a reference that starts with A. Then B and C all the way through. 4 years old. I can't do that. I'm a little older. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for a Christian education for my grandchildren. Because I think they're the hope in the future. But I also tell you that it saddens me that for kids to have the underpinning of faith rather than the undermining of faith, they have to depart from the schools that they're already paying for and to pay even more to get an education that won't destroy everything of faith that their parents believe in. Family is critical. In 1960, 72% of adults were married. 72%. Today, less than half. Marriage hasn't become very important. And by the way, I don't blame the secularist. I blame those of us in the church who cheapen marriage to mean that you can get in and out of it as easily as you could for anything that you contracted with. It alarmed me when I was governor of Arkansas to discover that it was easier to get out of a marriage than it was to get out of a contract for having purchased a used car. And in most states, that's the way it is. And then fatherhood. Folks, whether we like to admit it or not, and this is a vital role I think NRB and its members can play, to simply give the message that dads really do matter. 61% of African-American kids are living in a home without a father. 61%. You don't think that has an impact on the social strata of our culture? Well, it does, and not a good one. I think that the fact that we have sort of dismissed fatherhood is important. We think that women can live without a husband and a father, and kids don't need a father. Not all fathers are great fathers. But the fact is, kids need a mom and a dad. And we have almost been afraid to say that. Could we get back to the place where we don't mind saying the truth as the Bible explicitly tells us? That there is a man and there is a woman. There are two genders. They're not 47 or 105. And the insanity with which we are approaching the things in our culture disturbs the daylights out of me. And then freedom. Freedom is something that we have stole, personal freedom, spiritual freedom. But we ought not to be afraid to talk about the kind of political freedom that we enjoy in this country, which is a gift from God Himself that we have it. And that freedom and the free enterprise system has given us a level of prosperity that has never been known in all of human history. And the reason that's important is because freedom empowers people, but the truth is poverty and collectivism enslaves people, limited to what the government wants us to have rather than to dream the dreams and believe what God would want us to do. The three things that if we employ, we will eliminate 91% of the poverty in this country. Kids grow up in a two-parent household. They get a high school education as a minimum, and they remain gainfully employed. That's it. That's the whole anti-poverty program. We've spent billions of dollars since the mid-60s on anti-poverty. We've created entire government agencies. Made a lot of government bureaucrats a successful career. But the percent of people in poverty, 13% in the mid-60s, is still the 13% today, has not moved, hasn't changed. And poverty still exists. And we've never told people that the real success of getting out of poverty is not to enroll in yet another government program. The way to get out of poverty is to get married, remain married, with a man and a woman as a centerpiece of the household. Get at least a high school education. Get a job and keep it and remain gainfully employed. Your children, 91% likelihood, will never spend a day in poverty. That's a pretty good record, isn't it? Why don't we do that? NRB and its members have a great opportunity to do that very thing. If you ask me, am I pessimistic about our future? Not really. I'm concerned, alarmed. But the reason I'm not just crawling up in a fetal position and giving up is because I do believe the book. I believe the whole thing. And I read the last chapter. And it may get rough. But in the end, we win. And that's the part of it. That's the part of it we need to tell. Nobody else has that message. Who else can look out there into the vast citizenry of the world and say, follow Jesus, believe the book, and in the end, no matter what, you'll be victorious? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be digging a hole, storing food, getting a bunch of guns together. Actually, I've already done that, so I'm okay. But that's all I would be waiting on. Several years ago, the Arkansas Razorbacks were actually playing great basketball and football. Last year, we gave up our football program. Well, they had one, but they didn't play. got a new coach. Let's hope he does better. They almost got one from Beijing, China. Wouldn't that have been a hoot? First Chinese native football coach in the NCAA. Ended up didn't get him, but they were going to. And I think he could have been successful. His name was Wen Won Soon. I'm sure I'll get beaten up over that in social media somewhere. But back in the days of Razorback basketball at its zenith, when they won the national championship under Nolan Richardson, had a great series of teams. This was before ESPN, so you didn't have, you know, 20 different sports channels. You only got really one basketball game for the week in the SEC. But the local stations could tape the games and play them back late at night, which the local ABC affiliate in Little Rock would tape the games, play it back after the evening news. And what they would do is, when the sportscaster came on, he'd say, now, if you don't want to know the score of the game that's already been played, turn your sound off for the next 10 seconds, because I'm going to tell the score, but we won't put it on the screen, because some of you would like to watch the game as if it's happening live. And I don't know if anybody actually hit the mute button, but I sure didn't. I turned the sucker up. I wanted to know, did they win? Because if they won, I popped popcorn. I sat back in my chair. I knew this was going to be a great evening. And if I found out they lost, I'm going to bed. I'm not staying up to 1 in the morning only to go to bed frustrated and probably be up to 3 still angry that they missed the last shot. So I found out they're going to win. I'd sit there with my bowl of popcorn. And even if it was late in the second half, and the Razorbacks are down by 7, 1:10 to play, I can look around my den and say, hey, don't y'all worry. We're going to come back and get this thing right here. We're going to be all right. And even when it got down to the final second, I knew we're going to be okay. And the reason I knew that is because the game had already been played. The score had already been determined. And I'm just watching it to enjoy how it turns out. And folks, the reason that I have some optimism left in me is real simple. Because the game's already been played. Jesus went to the cross. He went to the tomb. And he came out. And he won. And we're going to win with him. Let's not give it up. Thank you and God bless you. Thank you.
Wow, time sure flies when you're having fun. That was Mike Huckabee delivering a message at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, as recorded recently, which I had the privilege of attending. I learned so much from so many different speakers and workshops and seminars, and trust and pray that God will use that learning to keep this radio ministry on target, proclaiming and lifting up the name of Jesus, providing and sharing that good news message, and continuing to educate, edify, and evangelize all who tune in and attend our various events. Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or missed yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, both are archived at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. If you'd like to get in touch with us or mail in a note of encouragement, our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or feel free to call us at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.